presences. Does anybody else carry songs on your phone? Yeah, I don't remember a lot of them. But I put inspiration songs on my phone. So I don't know, I wasn't texting anybody if you're watching me on my phone. But man, I tell you, something coming against you, not sure what it is. I'll bring up a song that I've got here. It might be Amazing Grace. It could be any. And I just start singing it. And it just lifts my. It's how I fight the enemy. That's how we defeat him, in the presence of the Lord. Amen? I mean, if I were getting in a fight right now, someone jumped on my back, Fred would jump up and grab that guy and separate him and free me. Because it's a physical fight, okay? And law enforcement do that all the time. The enemy that we're fighting today, guys, is a spiritual battle. And that's done in a spiritual way, by speaking the Word of God out. Amen? I understand that. We fight that spirit of heaviness. We fight the spirit of the devil that's coming after you with the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to defeat that. Remember, I said earlier, I was talking to you about Deuteronomy in the 28th chapter. That's where it talks about, if you diligently obey all my commands, I'll bless you here and bless you in coming in and going out. But he talks about in the 22nd verse, he says, the Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and inflammation and with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. He's saying that is the curse of the law. Understand? If you get into the original writings and stuff, he says, listen, they'll come to you because in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, the world got cursed. Amen? Understand that if we're not with the Lord, if we're not under the blood and the covering of Jesus, then we are out here in the cursed land. And this stuff is coming after us. But that's under the law. Everybody follow me when I say under the law? Okay. But in Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus hung on the tree. He took our curse. But when we come to Christ, then we are set free from the curse of the land. Amen? And from the law. We have to understand that, because otherwise, I mean, I'm going to say this is something here. Okay? Let's say this is part of the curse. I'm not being anything you want to right now, okay? And Fred's born again. He's set free. You know, he's come to redeem you from it. But here, Fred, take this, will you? He just took a sickness and a disease. He just took a curse. Not knowing it. Okay? And what happened? He'll get sick. Follow me? Now, don't make a disclaimer here. If you're sick today, it does not mean that you're cursed. Amen? Please. But this is the mindset we want to have. Is that... This can be any right now. Let's say arthritis, okay? Boy, my arthritis is really bothering me today. Okay? See the mistake I just made? I just claimed it. My arthritis, okay? And once I claim it, your body is receiving it. It's, man, arthritis has come against my body today. Woo-wee! But I've been redeemed by the curse of the land through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hear what you're saying now? My cancer. Boy, my cancer is, man. Boy, my cancer is different. Listen, don't claim your cancer. Amen. Well, this cancer attacking my body today, but I tell you what. Cancer is under the curse of the law. And Jesus can redeem me. I'm redeemed from the sickness and disease. Folks, it's not just a one-time thing. It's getting your mind. It's getting your mind that makes it into your spirit. And you realize, hey, you got to attack me. I'm just sharing with you what the Word of God says. Amen? Just sharing with you. And you can take it however you want to, but it says right here, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. It's what we're speaking out, what we're saying, whatever it might be, don't grab it as ownership. You think, well, that don't make much sense. Well, it does. You're going to teach yourself, it's my sickness, my disease. No, It's that you're being attacked, but hey, I've been redeemed by Jesus. And we get our mindset. And I'm telling you what, you're speaking out the Word of God. But doesn't the Word say that the demons flee in the name of Jesus? Sickness, disease? I just want to encourage you that. Speaking the Word of God out. And sharing it. And sometimes we don't know that. Sometimes people don't understand how that works. So I praise God now that you have the scriptures that you can speak to yourself. Been redeemed. Cold's coming against me, but I've been redeemed. God will set me free from this. I've been set free from the curse. Amen? I know. But I just... No different when taking a sword and defeating the physical. The Word of God is our sword for the spiritual. But being obedient to the Lord, amen? I mean, as Fred grabbed this rifle, he had no idea what it was. Sitting up front, he'll know better than that. But he received it, saying, okay. Not knowing that, man, that's bad. It's sickness, it's disease. And some of us, we say, oh man, it's the flu. It's the flu season. I'll get my flu in January. Amen? I mean, we've said that before, have we not? So what is your body expecting? Hey, I get flu every January, but not no more. Nope. Because I've been redeemed by law. Speaking to your body. You know? And so as we learn the tricks of the evil one, we can defeat him. Amen? But, you know, God wants His people well. He wants you strengthened. He wants you strong. He's got you here for a plan and purpose, you know? And very easy. I mean, we all start freezing right now, get real cold real bad, and realize, oh, man, like I said the other day, Ned left the back door open. And we're all cold because Ned left the door open, okay? Well, we recognize that door is open. What are we going to do? Go close the door. And that's what the Word of God does. As we study His Word, it helps us close the doors where we give Him room for the evil one to come against us, sickness and disease. Now, we are in a fallen world. Understand that. And there's cold, there's flus out there, all kind of stuff's out there. But His Word is given to us to overcome those. Amen? It's following the Master, following Jesus. And that Word of His is the center of our life. Amen? Because if it's not, we let things sneak upon us and get us. Now, we all got bodies going to be wearing out. You know, that, you know, believe it or not, that is one blessing. Because God redeems us. We are a soul and spirit occupying this body. But someday these bodies will give up. They're gone. We've been redeemed, but the bodies will give up someday. But our soul and spirit will be with Jesus forever and ever. And He wants you to get all the mileage you can out of this body He's given you. Amen? Amen. Questions? Please. I mean, I love worshiping the Lord. I love sharing the Word, but I don't want to speak if people aren't understanding. God, you hear it up here, but it comes out here differently. Maybe like, well, I'm not sure. How about Uncle Fred or Uncle George? You know, I don't know about them. I'm just for yourself. Reading that Word and say, okay, I don't quite understand it. But I'm going to read it, and I believe it, and Lord, give me understanding. And we pray, but He just lets us understand that. So that's what He wants people to grow in Him, to be strong. When you start to feel bad, hey, wait, Lord, redeem me. He's redeemed me from the curse of this land, so I do not receive this sickness and disease. I get up next morning, I'm puking, I'm so cold. Hey, I don't receive this sickness. I've been redeemed. Amen. Amen. You take your medicine? I've been redeemed. Amen? Amen. Amen. We want to share with you this morning how we got started. What made us, why you're here today, how we got here. And will you bring up that? Okay. We got a little bit of... pictures we'll show you here, part of the church and stuff, but just to let you know that every year we try to share what went on, how we got started. So if you don't see your picture up here this year, we rotate, okay? So don't be offended. You know, if you see Fred and Brenda's picture up here, and you guys' picture aren't there, don't be offended. We're mad at them, okay? They paid us $50 to be on top of here today. But, oh, I'm going to move this over here. I'm always doing fundraising, you know? Yeah. And I've given a testimony many times of how I've come to know Jesus. So I'm not going to go through that because that's like 25 minutes. So I'll go forward. It starts January 2nd, 2000 at 6:35 p.m. Jim Gross gave an altar call up in church up in Roscoe. I went down and showed my life to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I went down. I had my wife walk down. I'm a lieutenant of the sheriff's department. I'm scared to death to go down that altar. You're like, what's going to happen to me? I knew how it was. But I walked down there and I bent my knees, and man, I gave my life to Jesus. And wow, my whole life changed. I mean, I fell in love with my wife all over again, more love than ever in my life. I saw things differently. Wow. Man, and I tell you what, the minute I got saved, we come home, I picked up a Bible my wife had bought me 20 years earlier for Christmas, and never opened my life. I started reading and reading. I couldn't put it down. Going to church, I couldn't wait for Wednesday nights to church and Sunday night church and Sunday morning church. I just fell in love with Jesus 100%. But I had this question about, man, should I be baptized? Because when I was a kid, I was baptized. You know, I was 8 days old, I think it was, in the Catholic Church. They baptize you. And I was asking my pastor about that. He said, what do you think? He would tell me, you got to get baptized. He let me get the point that I want to be baptized. 2 years later, we was at a picnic out in the, I don't know, eastern side of Lafayette. And there's no baptisms. And I want to be baptized. Now I want to stand there. Part of it was probably pride. How could I stand in front of everybody and get baptized? Fred, I mean, what are they going to think of me? Here I am, a cop, a lieutenant, and I need to be baptized? I thought about that for a couple of years. You know, like, I don't remember. I was turning my life. I said, yeah, I want to be baptized. I'm a follower of Jesus. And they had a swimming pool, a really nice one. Kind of like your guys', you know. And Pastor Jim took me down and he baptized me. I came out of the water, and as soon as I came out of the water, I stood there and I preached for 5 minutes. And the Spirit of God fell on me. I came on fire for the Lord. Man, I was still working then, went back to work, and I'd be in the jail and sharing the gospel to the guys in the jail. And this isn't your life, and God can change your life and stuff, and praying with people. Then one day I was going home, 83 South of County Road 2, or 271, and I turned to go home. And then about midnight, because I just left the jail from sharing the gospel, and the Spirit of God fell on me. And He called me into the ministry. And like anybody else would do, I said, no, God, I don't think you're correct, are you? If you're calling me to be a preacher, confirm it through my wife. And 2 weeks later, boom, my wife says, sorry, God's calling you to be a pastor, calling you to be in ministry. I said, well, thank you, Lord, but it's really you calling me, Lord. Confirm it through my pastor. And within a week, the pastor come to me and say, listen, God's all over you. He's calling you to the ministry. What a blessing. Now, I'm 2 years from retirement. And I always used to joke around. I was going to retire at age 48, grow my hair back down my shoulders, which is getting closer now, buy me a Harley and tour around the United States. Well, God called me into the ministry. He must have laughed when I had that story. But what was awesome was when He called me to the ministry, He called us into the ministry. And we started studying together. It was awesome time. Because as a cop, and Fred can tell you, you don't know when you get caught out. I mean, she raised her children, basically. I mean, I was there once in a while, I know that. But, I mean, we pulled in one time to the sheriff's office, Christmas tree on top of my car. I went in, I'd probably get my paycheck. 5 minutes later, I came out in my SWAT uniform, headed south. And they had to go home and put the tree up. Sitting here at Christmas, having homicide, you get caught out. So I'm not complaining, but that was our life. You're just busy, busy, busy. And now here I am, getting ready to retire. He called both of us to the ministry. We were studying to be pastors. And what a blessing that was. That we're going to do something together the rest of our life. And during the process of our teachings and stuff, we had to pick out somebody to pray for 30 days. Couldn't tell either one of us, but pray for somebody for 30 days. And, Right. And feel free to, you were there, so feel free to grab a mic if you want to talk. Because I don't remember everything. And in the 30 days, we found out we both were praying for Steve McKee, Vicky's husband, to come to Jesus. Wow, what a, I mean, who figured that out? We finished studying, and November, the 1st of November of 2004, I retired from the sheriff's office. The next month, I was ordained to United Christian Ministries International. And then the following month, I was licensed by the state of Ohio. Wow, I'm ready. I tell you what. And went on for a couple months studying. And next thing I know, God said, I want you to start a church. I said, start a church? Yeah. Okay, well, when are we going to do that, I wonder. Well, he laid us on a heart in April. I think it was April of 05 to start the church. And one thing he spoke to me was, you start the church, and that man you're praying for, Steve McKee, he'll come. So we decided, Carol and I was talking, okay, first Sunday in May, we'll have church. And we did. And you guys came. Vicky's been with us all the time. The whole time, man. That's why I say she's the oldest one. Not age-wise, but yeah. And we opened the doors up to the ministry. And we thought, wow, they're going to come on there? Because we're out in our house. That's our house. And you see down the bottom of the basement there, that sliding glass door goes in our family room. And that's where we started a church. We had no expectation. People showed up that Sunday. And they said, where did we put our offerings at? Offering? We weren't thinking about the offerings. You know, we just started a church. And it was regular family room. We had recliners and couches and stuff there. And people would come out. And I remember, Mark, your mom and dad would come out. And it was funny. They always got there early. So his dad did, okay? Because he wanted the recliner. He would come out there, be able to sit in the recliner and kick it back a little while. We had the couch there and stuff. And we about, maybe what, 3 weeks into it, we needed more room, so we took all our furniture and got rid of it. Went out and bought folding chairs. So we've been folding chairs ever since, for the last 18 years, been doing it. And people come in, and man, we just worshiping the Lord and singing. And one thing was on my heart was, back when I got born again and going to church, after every service, they all went out to a restaurant and ate dinner. You know? And I loved doing that. Great time of fellowship. I learned a lot. I got to meet the people in the church and stuff, you know. But the thing of it is, it's kind of expensive. Really expensive, you know, when your wife and maybe a couple of kids with you and stuff. So when we started the church, I always had in my heart to have something to do with food. So after our service, we would have coffee and cookies to start with. Then it turned out to be sandwiches and stuff. And just a time of fellowship. So that's how we got part of the food part of it. And then 6 months later, we was on a school board. My wife has taught in several different Christian schools. She administrated some Christian schools. And it was Cheryl. Huh? Oh, wow, that's true, yeah. We're surrounded. And on the school board, we needed a couple exit signs in order to put this church that we were at was a school. And the Episcopal Church on East Main Street, we had contact with them. They had two exit signs down in the basement. Nobody's using them. They weren't plugged in. I didn't take those. So I had to call their bishop down in South Carolina and see whether or not we could get those. So I called this gentleman, and I told him what I was looking at and stuff. And I said, what we was doing, and I was talking about the church. And I said, we're out here in the country. We want to move to the city. He goes, well, why didn't you call my church down here on the East Main Street? Call them. He says, there's only about five or six of them left right now. And they might rent it to you. I said, well, I appreciate that, because we live out in the boondocks. We live out part of Chuck and Marty, and they got a pipe in sunlight out there. I know that. But we were, wintertime coming, and it's, roads are bad, so we thought, well, God wants them to move into the city. So we called the Episcopal Church, talked with them, awesome. They said, well, come on down and talk to us. So I went down and talked to him, and I can't remember the name, Mr. Lear, maybe. He was a school teacher in Ridgewood, smoked the pipe. I can't remember now. It's been, well, I'll bring it up in a second. I'm going to go through the slides here in a second. Just lay things down. But anyway, come down and interviewed us. We talked to him and stuff. And he says, now listen, he says, you come down next Sunday and present the message, and then we'll decide we're going to rent the church to you. Okay, I mean, so anyway, during the week he called me at home. He says, now Pastor Stark, are you coming this Sunday? I said, yeah, I'm coming. He said, well, I'll let you know that we figure whatever you got to say, you can say it in about 15 minutes. Yes, sir. So I remember going down there and presented the message to him, and it was all about everyone that's been called to be a witness for the Lord. And you might have witnessed today as you come into the church and you stop, got a cup of coffee at the Shell Mart. Okay, and someone said, wow, he's going to church today. You might have walked out of your building, your house today, carrying a Bible. You know, you didn't say Jesus was coming, you didn't preach it, but they saw that you was carrying a Bible. And you were a witness for the Lord. What a shame to hide that Bible. That was my message. Well, they called me the next day and said, yes, well, we're going to rent it to you. You have the church from noon on Sunday till 9 o'clock the following Sunday. They only want 1 hour a day, a week, to have the services and stuff. So we rented the building. It was awesome. And during that time, the guy laid it on our heart to start serving soup the last Sunday of the month. Because most of us, we ran out of money before the end of the month, right? And so we started serving soup the last Sunday of the month. And we have maybe 20, 25 bowls. Yes. Amen. 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 God is awesome. And so we had our soup. And the next month, we was going to serve the soup, and the lady came to me and said, hey, I got a few items at home that I don't need anymore. Can I put a card table up and give them away? And like knickknacks and stuff. I said, well, yeah. Yeah. So that's how we started giving things away. One little card table, some stuff on it. As time went on, a year later now, we're still up there on East Main Street. And during a special prayer night, I was at the altar, and God spoke to my heart. He said, hey, Starkey, do you want to stay here in this beautiful place, which is a beautiful church? And nothing wrong with beautiful churches, amen? Or do you want to go where I want you to go? I said, well, Lord, that's a no-brainer, because you called me. I'll go where you want me to go. And he just downloaded my spirit to have an outreach, have a soup kitchen, more on the ground floor ministry type deal. So my wife and I was led to start walking Main Street. We were praying back and forth, praying, God, where you want us to go? Where you want us to go? Because I remember I was on midnight shift, Fred. I go down here on 3rd Street, just around the corner, and I had a desire to start a soup kitchen. I wasn't even born again yet. But that was on midnight shift. And wow. So it's funny how I had that desire then. And I was walking around Main Street, praying, saying, God, where you want us to go? What you want us to do? And a for rent sign came up in the window. I said, wow. So who owned it? Bob Skelton, next door, Joe and Bob Skelton. So we went and talked to them about it. And I remember he told me, well, Starkey, he says, I don't mind renting it to you, but I got somebody who wants to sign a 5-year lease for 5 years. I thought, okay, go ahead and rent it, because I'm not going to sign a 5-year lease, because I don't want to break a lease if God moves me somewhere else. And he get ready to walk out, and he says, wait a second. He goes, it's like this, Fred. He goes, hey, you can have it. Wow. Amazing, you know. And through that, it was confirmation. I get mixed up once in a while, but we saw this place, we prayed about it. Again, God confirmed my spirit. Somebody else came to us, hey, I found this place. Talked to Bob, and we moved in. We moved in, had the first service in November of 2006. 2 months later, snowing outside. God said, okay, I want you to start serving food. Give a meal to the people. And so we had a couple bucks, I think $22 we said at one time. I made chicken and noodles. Oh, I love chicken and noodles. Anytime I go to a church social, you'll find me around the chicken and noodles. That's my favorite thing. So we made a big batch of chicken and noodles in a crock pot, took a cardboard sign, said free lunch, stuck it out there in the snow, and served. And during that time, this lady came into the church, and her name was Holly Grover. If I remember Holly or not. Sweet lady. But she came walking in like this. Right up to me. Hey, what's up? I said, what do you mean, Holly? Oh, I didn't know her name, but what do you mean? What's up, the sign? I said, oh, the Lord laid upon her heart to offer a free meal to whoever's hungry. She goes, huh? Walking out. What's the catch? And I said, it's a free meal. You know, the Lord wants to serve. Oh, trying to watch out. Didn't eat dinner, just walked out. And but as time went on, Holly started coming to eat, came into the church, gave her life to Jesus, got born again. She lived down the Bellflower, which was 1 mile away. She'd walk up there every day at 2 o'clock to vacuum the floors and stuff, walk back home. And a few years ago at Christmas time, her picture's on the wall here, she went home to be with Jesus. But just we started then, we had 1 day a week that we served. And then more food came in, so we started serving 2 days a week, and 3 days a week, and 4 days a week. And now you know what we're doing now. We're serving food all the time. But God laid that upon our heart to serve. And ever since we started, I mean, it's just amazing. A year after we started the church, I had a question to God. I said, God, why did you need another church? And when we started, we just started the church. Then a year later, God spoke to me and said, it wasn't the church I really needed, it's the ministry. And man, as people saw us giving things away, people from outside brought coats in and clothing. And we had people call up and say, hey, listen, I got a whole house full of furniture. You guys want it? And we go pick it up and put it in storage. And somebody needed it, we go take it to them and stuff, you know. It's everything. And here we are 18 years later, and we look back and we see many churches now in our area are doing community dinners on Thursday nights. A lot of churches have a clothes closet. I just saw down here Church of God is starting one. They call it Loaves and Clothes, I think it is, or something like that. So I think they're giving bread out maybe and clothing once a month. And food pantries. I mean, it's just amazing what God is doing. And I just thank God that we were a part of that to start with. But I want to share a couple of slides with you. Yeah, I'll do it myself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people over the years have come through the ministry and helped us. I can't name everybody. I won't remember everybody. But that's, let me see, we got a red button here, don't we? Right there. Okay, this is our house out home. We built this in 2001, our retirement home. We didn't build it, it's a modular, on a full basement. And the minute we got done with the house, we started a Tuesday morning Bible study. And Carol would teach Bible study on Tuesdays out the house. And the reason why was the church we were involved in, they had once a month, they had a Bible study. We'd go to other people's houses. That's awesome. Well, the house that we were living in prior to this, I was afraid somebody would come and fall through the floor. Okay? And so we didn't have anybody come out to our house. How awesome it was for us to be able to start having a Bible study. So we'd gather up here, and Mark, your mom and dad would be out there, and we'd have a potluck. Vicki and people would come out who could. Some of us were still working. I was still working, and I think milking cows at this time. But right here, that was our sliding glass door. And used to be people come up the steps here, down the steps, over here. They realized, well, let's just open up the basement doors, and then we turn our front yard here into a parking lot. People would park in our front yard, and start having church there. And then when we moved, that's the church on East Main Street, the Episcopal Church. Beautiful little church up there. And we were there for 1 year, like I was saying earlier. And then God moved us down here on November 5th, 2006. The sign there you see, that was made by a gentleman up in Fresno. I'm trying to think what his name is. Schroyer. I believe it's Johnny Schroyer. Jim Schroyer? Okay. I seen that exact sign on the side of a building in New York, Times Square, in a magazine one time. I fell in love with it. I showed it to him. I said, could you make me a sign like this? And he made that for us and a couple other crosses. We would not take a dime for it. He said, I want to donate it to you. And during our last 18 years, we had 975 times we've shared communion at various times. We've celebrated Passover and Christmas Eve service here last 18 years. And Hanukkah, then several teachings on Hanukkah. There we were, the Feast of Booths is one of the feasts that we'll be doing, celebrating for forever, for all eternity. And that's me and Carol in our prayer shawls. 2013, Cindy Hara had a Main Street cruise and food drive. You come back, cruise Main Street like you used to in the old days, and they had a competition between Ridgewood and Coshocton or Riverview, who could bring the most canned goods in. And then they donated to the church. It's kind of blurry there, but and then Christmas Eve, we've Christmas parades. That's Gail. Oops, and that's Gail up there. Yeah, pass out Bible tracts. We did that for several years. Giveaway of Miracle on Main Street. Every year we have a winter coat that we hand out to folks who are in need, and we do hot chocolate and cookies. And then when we moved in here, that's Brother Joe Kirker. He's in heaven of the Lord today. But this place here used to be a coffee shop. Anybody remember that? And it was awesome because all these plugs were already here. And so it was already wired for God's soup kitchen. Amen? And this here, your altar here is the counter. That used to be the coffee counter. It'd be right across here. And take your order, please. Well, when we rented the place, we took it piece by piece, tore it down, and some of the men in the church built this altar and covered it and put soft stuff on to kneel on and stuff. Try not to waste anything. Food, we used to pick up syrup in Millersburg. They donate up above Millersburg. I can't remember the name of the company up there, but what was it? Well, we used to have Angel Food Ministries, but this here is cereal, yep. And yeah, catalog and stuff. Yeah, Angel Food Ministry was, we got involved with having a box of food that people could purchase. You get like $55 worth of food for $25. And you come and people would sign up to get them, and we would go, sometimes we'd go to Alliance, Ohio, at 3 o'clock in the morning, a snowstorm, load the van up, bring it in. We did that for a couple years. And a couple other churches around here was getting involved with it also, which is awesome. But one day I was standing up there across from, let's say Fred, you're pastor of the church, I'm pastor of this church. We both came from Coshocton. We both spent the same amount of gas to get to Alliance, Ohio. And I got my 50 boxes, and you got your 50 boxes, and we all drove back down to Coshocton. I thought, well, God put gas in my van, He put gas in your van. Well, we got the food ministry going on here, the clothing ministry. I'm going to step back. I'll let you pick up 100 boxes that way, and we'll concentrate on here. Amen? And so that's how we got out of Angel Food Ministry after several years, because I thought, you know, if I duplicate it, and you gave them some awesome to do, and God had already given us a lot here to do. So sometimes things in your life has a season. And the main thing is to recognize when the season is changing, you know. You don't want to walk out in the wintertime with your shorts on. Well, some of you guys would. But you know, recognize the changes in the seasons. That's what we did. Going around the annual Christmas caroling, Brother Bill Hopkins. And that's my aunt Pip. They're both in heaven today, seeing the Lord. But Bill, he's the one that gave me that red truck I drive. He come to me and said, I don't need to be driving anymore. And his family agreed. And so he gave us that truck about 15 years ago, I think it was. No, 9 years ago. And we have over 220,000 miles on it. We drive it once in a while, but the fender's flapping the breeze. Look, I might take off flying one of these days. 18 years of meals, approximately 270,000 meals. You have served here through the ministry. Doris and Opal help a lot on free lunches. Dixie has. Bonnie. Vicky. I don't know who. Paul. I can't remember everybody. Gail. Jeff. Rick and Lynn. Joe. Yeah, just Daryl. Yeah. I can't remember everybody. Raise your hand if you helped on free lunch. That way I can give. Yeah, Daryl. Yes. Amen. All right. Woo. Now, of all my workers, Daryl is my favorite. Because when he worked at the hospital, he came in at 2 o'clock, helped us clean. He'd bring me fish tail sandwiches from the hospital. So, yeah, he's always my favorite. I got to stop for a second. In our kitchen back here, I got to tell the story again. In our kitchen back here, we have a triple sink. When we first moved in this place, we had a little sink that you have in an apartment. Nothing else. That was it. And I was a jail administrator my last 10 years. I ran the jail and wrote policy and procedures. I knew what the health department requires. So in January, 07, Fred, you remember? 06, I was praying. I said, Lord, man, if I had a triple sink, man, we could get regular place. I could wash, rinse, and sterilize. Awesome. Oh, Lord. The next morning, I get this phone call from this guy named Fred. Fred Crusoe. Edmonds. Closing things down. Hey, Starkey, we have a need for a triple sink. I said, Fred, you ain't going to believe this. I prayed for that yesterday. And God laid upon Fred's heart. I mean, that's God. I mean, anything we need in the ministry, we pray, and God finds a way of getting it to us. Whether it be a van, you name it. I just take it to the Lord. But you called the very next day, and man, went up, got it. So it's been back early. Bob Donnelly here. Yeah, you plumbed it for me. I think you and Kenny hooked things up because you don't want me to do that kind of stuff, you know. But yeah, it's just amazing. Mm. And now there's Norma Griffin. I have my mother-in-law. She's the one that bought the table on the first Sunday up there on East Main Street to give things away. And we started a church at home. Carol's daddy hadn't been in church for a while, but born again, but kind of slipped away. He came back. Mama coming. It's just amazing what God has done to the ministry here. Holiday giveaways for years. We'd have toys and stuff that we'd have a big giveaway. And people would come and get stuff. And there's a toy room. I was always in charge of the toy room. We give toys and stuff away. But again, through the years, other places started out reaching out to folks and stuff. So we backed off of that. There's Mom Maple. Helen Maple. One of the first ones out home in the church. And I remember, it's her fault. You can blame her. Don't ever blame me, okay? But I went through my training and stuff. So now, listen, but like I said on East Main Street, hey, 15 or 20 minutes, that's a long enough sermon. Okay? So I'll be preaching out there. I'll make sure about 18 minutes I stop, you know. Because that's what he said to do, you know. The good old days, yeah. That's the day that you guys would beat the Catholics to the dinner table, you know. But now, but Mom Maple come to me one day. She says, now, preacher, he says, I ain't going to tell you what to do. No. But if you want to preach a little bit longer, we wouldn't mind that. And so, as the Lord laid it upon my heart, that's what took place. And then she came to me on East Main Street one day. After service, she walked up by herself. She goes, hey, listen, I think you do a fine job. She reached in a box and she said, listen, I want you to take this and buy some teeth with them. I had my teeth pulled 5 years earlier. I had no teeth. I got used to it. But she gave me money to put teeth in my mouth. And then she come to us. I ain't supposed to drive anymore. I want to give you my car. And I thought, oh, no, I don't know. Yeah, I want to give it to you. So I checked with her children to make sure, you know. Said, yep, Mom don't need to drive anymore, and she wants to give you that car. We got that car again about 80,000 miles on it. It was a Dodge Chrysler, small size, not New Yorker, next size down. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, gave it to us, and we drove that thing until it had 225,000 miles on it. And then we had a widow lady in the church. God laid upon our heart to give it to her. And I'm not sure what happened after that, but she drove it. We've been blessed in the ministry. Since I got born again, I never had to buy a vehicle. God always gave us everything that we've had. Just recently, we got a van. God gave us money by the van. So everything we've ever had has always been used for the Lord. Yeah, the house, I mean, it's just everything. He's always provided for us. And Mama stepped in she stepped into heaven a few years ago. But, so I'm going to get back to 15 minutes again. Did I hear an amen? Oh, okay. And the Pastor Peter. Oh, my. What a lovely fellow he is. When I got born again, he came from Nigeria at the church where I got saved at in Roscoe. And he was prophesizing over people. Now, I'm scared to death. I'm a new Christian, okay? And you gotta go down there and he would lay hands on you and speaking to you. So, and again, I go down like, oh, I'm not sure. And he laid hands on me and started speaking over me. I didn't hear what he said. Here he said, call me that you'll be a pastor someday, that you're stepping to the ministry. I was only, what, 2 months old as a Christian. Wow. And God laid upon his heart to tell me what I was going to do, because I was so scared anyway. Like, okay, I'll get back up my seat. Well, as time went on, he came here to our church, visited with us. That's Ryan up there on the right. Everybody who's kind of young, except, well, this one here, but anyway. Getting a fellowship after church, I mean, it's always been really the key part of our heart. There's Bonnie right there. Right there's Bonnie. There's Joe Kirker and Kathy and Bill and just Aaron. It's just Lori. Yeah, I'm not sure who that is, but yeah. Is that looks like Fred praying up there? I'm not sure. But that's why we do what we do. That's why there's always a fellowship after church. And you know, when we first started it, people come to me and said, well, listen, you know, we like to go out to restaurants once in a while, so you don't have to do this every day. And I said, well, you don't have to stay, just whoever wants to. We all got stuff we got to do, I understand that. And sometimes Bob Evan does cook better than I do, okay? But that, we've always done it that way, just what God laid upon our hearts. And the day I was back in, I think, 2010, I was really sick, Cleveland Clinic, and you all come together and kept praying for me and praying, and God raised me back up again. And I tell you what, you ever go to the hospital, Cleveland Clinic, I recommend that. They got Starbucks down there on the bottom floor. But you got to get a nurse to go down and get it for you. If you can't drag all that equipment down there, they won't let me do it. But that was quite a time there, and I appreciate all you guys did, all the prayers and stuff, and community coming together, and God brought me through. And then there's Bob cooking again. Bob and Kenny out there flipping burgers for Jesus. And once a month, used to be the last Wednesday of the month, we cook out on the grill. And I don't care what the weather was, snowing, raining. I've had it before, the hamburgers fall through the griddle because it's so wet from the rain and stuff. Did that for years and years. And then, I don't know if God spoke to me, I just spoke to myself like, hey, listen, stupid. 10 below zero. You got a George Foreman, do it inside. So, and we are hoping to get another grill and maybe start doing that during the summertime once again, because out there the smoke goes down it's like an invitation. The smoke barbecue goes down the street and people come sniffing around and share the gospel of Jesus. And we had one gentleman on the wall over here. His name was Stanley Mason. And Stanley, some of you guys might remember him, but Stanley was a truck driver. He was to look at him, you think he was a Hell's Angel. He had all the tattoos and naked women and all the stuff written on the fingers and stuff. Yeah, I mean, we all come from somewhere, right? Amen. And he come here on January of 2010, because we had a wedding. We had a couple in our church, like a lot of them, had a whole lot of money, so I did the wedding during the service, and I preached upon the marriage supper of the Lamb. Anyway, he came to the service, and I gave the gospel. Well, the next day I'm out here cooking on the grill, and Stanley shows up. And this is what your ministry has done. Time and time and time, I can tell you more and more. He came up to me and he says, preacher, so I listened to you last Sunday. I'm going to come next Sunday and get myself saved. I said, Stanley, if God has moved upon your heart right now to receive Jesus, don't wait. Right now. Right now, right here on Main Street, I'll pray with you and receive Christ. Okay. So we stood out there in the snow and everything. He prayed and he received Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord. Man, his family turned upside down. Found love of the Lord. Been involved in our soup kitchen. Oh, there's a picture up here with him somewhere. But anyway, he just turned upside down and he said, I'm a preacher. He said, I wish I didn't have these tattoos on my arms. I said, brother, some people got tattoos on their arms, some people got tattoos on their hearts. Makes no difference. God's redeemed you. You came from somewhere. God will use that to witness to other people. He just fell in love with Jesus. It's just amazing. He came in here and him and Alicia, we'll have a fight over who would fry the best eggs and stuff like that. You know, just to see the man turn around. I remember one time he told me, and he shared this with people, I ain't talking about him. He come to me after a while, he says, "You know what? I think I'm going to get married. Preacher, I want to get married, I think." "Well, Stanley, why don't you?" He said, "Well, I got to get divorced first." Now, I'm not talking, but here, him and his wife, he was crazy back in the day, and him and his wife separated 27 years earlier, and he couldn't find her nowhere. But yeah, I had a laugh. It was awesome. He came into church, he got froze out, the power went out, he couldn't breathe very well. We came in here, we set up a bed in here for him, air conditioning on during this power outage and stuff. Wasn't feeling good. Went to the hospital. I went up to see him on July the 3rd. I went up to see him, and we talked, and he had everybody around, and he said, "Listen, I'm not sure what's going on, preacher." But he said, "If something happens to me, I want to give you the farm and everything to the church." I said, "Don't worry about that, Stanley." And I said, "I'll be back up on the 5th. I had a wedding on July the 4th. I'll be back up on the 5th, and we'll talk about what type of, because I had throat cancer. We'll find out what the best thing to do for you." "Okay, preacher." July the 4th, he died. So he didn't go through the pain. I know it's sad, but he was ready. I mean, he just loved the Lord, and he went to heaven. And, your ministry here has made a lot of difference. I can speak all day long on all the stuff that your ministry has done through your prayers and stuff, guys. It made a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives. We used to play bingo New Year's Eve. Did that for several years, but I think one time it was, who was it? Was it Joe and Fred got in a fight? Who won? I don't remember now, but they threw stuff through the window. Nah, just kidding. We did that for several years. Baptism, we had a watering trough at one time, and we baptized folks out here on Main Street. And now I couldn't carry the watering trough anymore, so now we have an inflatable pool that we blow up and use it. David had filled the pool up. That one there we used to borrow from up here, 36 and 93, that farm place up there. And we went up one day and said, "Hey, we got baptism at Shoemaker. Can I borrow this watering trough?" "Yeah, go ahead and take it." Took it, baptized people, brought it back the next day. 3 days later, I talked to the owner. They hadn't sold one of them in 2 years, and they sold three of them that week. I said, "That's because you gave it to the Lord. He repays those. He blesses them." There's Betty Donnelly, that's Bob's mama, getting baptized. That's our Lori. Brother Bob. Pat Freeman, that's out at Shoemaker's Farm. And we believe it. Submerged people and or poor. Some people can't get in the water. Some people have hearing aids and stuff. And I believe it truly is. It's an intent of the heart, what God has. Well, who's that young man? Okay. Bob Clark celebrated his birthday here. He's in heaven now. Brother Joe being baptized. It's just a lot of things that's taking place. Shoemaker's Farms. We have an outside service on a picnic, which normally is the last Sunday in August. Summer baptism. That altar there was built for us out home when we first started the church. And we used that for several years at home. Pablo and Alex being dedicated. Alicia and that little fella up there, I'll tell you what. The hand of God is on him also. It's just amazing. And these two gentlemen, I'll tell you what. They are a blessing. Right, Lori? Keep saying there. My teenagers are a blessing. Okay. Yeah. Reed and John Kimberly. John Kimberly came back in this area. He was a police officer. Retired, went away. He came back a couple, 3 years ago. I thought, is that crazy Starkey Lawrence, a preacher now? And so he had to come in to check it out. And 6 months later, he gave his life to Jesus. And he's in heaven. Dolores Blair, that's Daryl's mama. She sat back here where Carol was at every day for our soup kitchen. That's how we got started this wall here. The family gave us her picture on a cross. Remember that, Daryl? And so I put it right there where she used to sit. And as time goes on, we added more and more. We have about 15 more crosses put on there. But the lady who was doing it for me quit doing it. And I can't find anybody yet to do it. I can buy the machine for $1,300, but that's a lot of money. So I would rather just maybe try to draw people's pictures on there or not. But we'll get it worked out yet. There's Stanley. He was something else, I'll tell you what. 125 salvations that we know of, at least. You never know when you preach your gospel how many people call upon the Lord the next day. And the 106 going home parties we've had over the years. And we're getting First Friday gospel music, First Friday of the month. And our church used to be sit this way, looking that way. And then we turn around this way. And we've had churches horseshoed this way. Everywhere you can think of, we've moved the church around. Probably about time to change it again, maybe. 60 plus weddings. I don't know who they are. Yeah. Who would that be? I'm not sure. Jeff and Gail. And then we had a lot of rededication. That was Cindy and Buck Harrell on their anniversary. Christmas party we had in 2019. We rented the fire station for a couple years over there. The ugliest sweater contest. You understand, John won. He had my picture on his chest, so he won the ugly sweater contest. But again, just trying to have fun and uplifting time during this time. Daryl fishing. Brother Mike Barlett riding a horse that was donated to us, one of them kids' horses and stuff. He was nobody. He didn't, never want to go to Sam's Club with them because him and Marvin go down once in a while and get supplies for us, and they always got themselves in trouble. One would be riding in the basket around the store and stuff, so, true story, yeah. During the pandemic, we had our first online service. We did that for several months. The TP family, if you guys are familiar with that, if not, someday I'll have to show it to you, but, it's, we're just trying to find a way to be uplifted during the pandemic. Dickie. You tied the first roll. Yeah. Yeah. It all started as a joke out home. You know, toilet paper was scarce. Couldn't find it. You couldn't gather anymore. So we had a concept. We had Carol sang a couple songs. I shared a verse. I said, listen, I held this toilet paper. I said, listen, register and send me your name. I'll have a drawing for free roll toilet paper. Okay? Well, by the next day, God had me take that roll of toilet paper and turn it into a person. And the next thing I knew, he got married and had a wife. And then the next day, we had a kid. And then relatives from Las Vegas came and got born again. And it just goes on and on and on. It's just a crazy thing. I posted that. That's John. Yeah, they were wearing the mask because they couldn't be out in Las Vegas without having a mask on. And they were getting beat. They went to Dancing of the Stars. And the fella broke his leg, so John Kerman had to come in and take his place, and they won. So anyway, it was a crazy time, just trying to survive. We started doing Christmas caroling during the pandemic. Instead of knocking on people's doors and stuff, we gathered here and we would sing to them over the phone. And it really turned out that I think people really liked it better than knocking on the doors, I think. We've done that the last 2 or 3 years. And one lady who always went to her house last, she always gave us candy bars. And we hate giving her up, you know, not going person to person. But she sent her candy bars down. And that's the last slide, I guess. Okay, amen. A couple of verses that really spoke to us over the years, and we're about ready to close. Oh, man, I'm long. But what's that? Okay. And feel free, I've said this before. If you're here, you have to go to work, you got a meeting, don't be afraid to get up and just walk out, okay? Because I know I get long-winded at times, and you got things you got to do at times, and it's not offensive. I don't want anybody to get fired from the job because I was windy today, okay? But one of the scriptures really spoke to us from the beginning, and why we do what we do. We support Pastor Peter, his orphanage. We support Voice of the Martyrs. We take care of the widows, okay? And Jewish Voice. In the scripture in Matthew 25, he said that when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to eat? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. That's always been the driving force behind this and the ministry that he's given us. And that's why we do what we do. Then in James 1:27, it says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in the distress, and to keep yourself oneself unstained by the world. So as we take care of, in the voice of the martyrs, we are taking care of the orphans. We're taking care of the widows, because a lot of the men have put to death. And over the years, we have sent money to buy goats for the widows to feed their children with. We have bought chickens before through the voice of the martyrs. That way they got eggs and stuff. The difference that you're making in people's lives. We might be a small congregation, but we have a big heart. And you guys, what a thing that you guys have been doing. Yes, we take care of people around us, but also we do as God calls us. So that's why we've always been involved with Voice of the Martyrs and also with Pastor Peter of the orphans. And then Genesis 12:3 with the Jewish voice, he says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And here's the key. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we have been supporting the voice, or the Jewish voice, from the very beginning. The first ministry we ever reached out to was Pastor Peter. Then came along the Voice of the Martyrs, and then the Jewish voice. And this ministry here has never, ever missed a payment. We've had times, payment, what I'm talking about is paying your electric bill. God has always kept the lights on here. We've always paid the rent. It's amazing how the money comes in. We have no outside, we don't solicit anybody to donate. God established this, and God finds a way to send the money into us. We have places come to us before and tell us, if we fill out a piece of paper and request money, they can give us money to run the ministry with, and I always thank them. But I say, no, you know, God will provide. Thank you. And most of the time, they find a way to bring the money in anyway. But all this is to God's glory. And we've been here 18 years, and if next year, he's okay, the ministry part, you did an awesome job. It's time to close it down. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It'll be up to God. I never want any artificial life coming into the ministry. I mean, I don't want anything keeping it running longer than what God does. And through the years, everything we have, the chairs that you're sitting in, the tables and stuff. I mean, we had a guy from the power plant. He owned an electric company down there up from Tennessee. And he came to church one day. He popped in and sat down, and after church he came up to me and said, I really like what you're doing here. You're really serving the Lord. He's a Christian man. His wife was a professor at Tennessee State. And so he shook my hand and a piece of paper, and he walked out. And here he gave me a check for us of $1,500 to run the ministry with and stuff. And it went on for like 2.5 years he was here. When they moved out, going to the next job, he called me down there. He gave us, I don't know how many of these chairs, and we bought the chairs on top of these. Tables, microwaves. He gave us file cabinets, all kind of stuff. We were able to share with a lot of different ministries. I mean, God has a way of blessing us. A few years ago, he came through the area going up north. He stopped by and did the same thing again. So God just has a way of providing for us. You know, I do believe because he honors his word. And so that's why we do what we do here. Let me get anyone to add, Carol. I've been kind of long-winded. I'd go on for another 25 minutes, but I want to remember this as I close out here, okay? No matter where you're at in life right now, you might not know what God's going to do, but I'll tell you what, just keep your eyes on Him. I had no idea when I got born again that He would call me here to the ministry, and next thing you know, some year we're serving 18,000 meals. It would scare me to death. He said, okay, Sarky, start soup kitchen. And served 18,000 meals this year. But he gradually brought me into it. Amen? You know, from my past to the future, He gave me a new life and gave me a purpose. And remember, where you're at today, you might think, well, God can never use me. That's a lie from the devil. God can use you. He might not call you to be up here, but He has a calling on your life. And you might think, well, I'm too old. But remember that Abraham, he was old when God called him. Elijah was suicidal. He thought he was the last person on earth that believed. Joseph was abused. Job went bankrupt. Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Samaritan woman was divorced 4 or 5 times. Noah was a drunk. He got drunk. I mean, King Matt, 120 years. He built the ark. You hear God's voice, building it, building it, building it. Boom. Got on the ark. God rescued him. And what did he do when he got landed? He got drunk. Wow, I figured, well, if I taught my kids that many years. But see, drunkenness is a sin, but was he condemned? No, God, he repented from it. So no matter where you're coming from, Jeremiah was young, Jacob was a cheater, David was a murderer, King David, Jonah ran from God, Naomi was a widow, Peter denied Christ 3 times. Martha worried about everything. Zacharias was too small and money hungry. Disciples fell asleep while praying with Jesus. And Paul was a Pharisee who persecuted Christians before becoming one of the greatest apostles there was. So where are you at? What's your background? Where are you at today? God can use you. Amen? And don't be afraid. Just trust in Him. He'll help you use your background, your past, to help in your future, to help other people. Amen? Amen. That's awesome. Anything you want to add, hon? I think. Anybody got questions or like, well, why do you do this or do that? And again, if I'm up here and I left somebody's name out, I didn't mention, I apologize. I don't. When we started the church out home, we didn't have a cross. So Kathy Snyder, I put it on the board here, but she made this cross. That's a little cross in our basement, in our family room. We had that. Very simple, but very meaningful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done in our life. God, we thank you for redeeming us from our sins. We thank you for giving us a purpose in life. God, we thank you for the future you've given us here on earth, but also with you for eternity in heaven, God. Our desire in these days left in our lives on this earth before you come, Father, to glorify you, to reach out to others, to forgive one another when we offend each other, and Lord, to bring others into the kingdom, Lord. We declare by your blood you brought healing to our bodies. By the stripes on your back, Father, we've been redeemed. We have a new covenant, an everlasting covenant, Father, and we thank you for that, Lord. I just want to surrender our minds to you today, Father, Lord. We just cast down anything the devil's been trying to put in our minds, our worthlessness, or all the lie that he comes in and tries to separate us from your love, Father. He's a liar. We bind that spirit, that lying spirit today. So be gone as your spirit of joy and redemption comes over us today, Father. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for sharing God's love by dying on the cross for us. And we take today, we take this, Jesus, in remembrance of you, on what you've done for us, what you're doing for us, and that you're coming again. And all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.